Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 9 verses 27 to 38. Matthew chapter 9 verses 27 to 38. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We are now coming to the close of our study of Matthew chapter 9. And we have been getting a glimpse of the power of Christ, the power of Christ the King, in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, where Matthew records 10 miracles manifesting this power of God. And we found that Matthew records these miracles in three groups, and that each group of miracles is followed by an event relating to discipleship, separating these groups. We've also been looking at the deep spiritual lessons in these miracles. And we said that we could characterize each section of miracles with a special emphasis, revealing these spiritual lessons. For we observe in the first cluster of miracles, we observe grace to the outcast, Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 22. And in the next set of miracles, we see peace to the troubled soul, Matthew chapter 8 verse 23 right up to chapter 9 verse 17. And then we see the shattered, the broken being restored in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 38. Now last Sunday we began our study on the third group of miracles where we see Christ restoring the shattered, the broken. And in this section, Matthew records four miracles involving five persons. We saw the shattered home, the home of Jairus. And we also looked at the shattered hope of the woman with the discharge of blood, and how Jesus healed her and gave her hope. And today we will look at the shattered bodies of these two blind men and the mute man. Matthew chapter 9 verses 27 to 34, the text that we read this morning. Then we will also study the third discipleship interlude, which we find in Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to 38. Now first let's look at the shattered bodies of these two blind men. Matthew 9 verses 27 to 31. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. Now, this account of the healing of the two blind men has significant differences from the healing of Bartimaeus and his friend. And that is referred to in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. And also in Mark chapter 10 verses 46 to 52, and also in Luke chapter 18 verses 35 2:43, the healing of Bartimaeus and his friend. This event here should not be thought of the same as the healing of Bartimaeus. Jesus, of course, healed many blind people over the course of his ministry. Now, we are not told why these men were blind. Blindness was a serious problem in the East during that time. And the record states that Jesus healed at least 6 blind men in his ministry while on earth. And each case was different. These 2 blind men acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David. We've already studied the human and divine heredity of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. Son of David. That is a reference to the promised messianic deliverer from the line of David, whose kingdom will continue forever. And through Nathan the prophet, God spoke to David about the Messiah in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 12 to 13. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 16, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the first of the several times that Matthew records people referring to Jesus by this title, Son of David, this messianic title. Other references are as follows in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, can this be the Son of David? Matthew chapter 15 verse 22. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. We find Bartimaeus and his friend also crying out to Jesus using the same title, Son of David. Matthew chapter 20 verse 30. And behold, there were 2 blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. Then in Matthew chapter 20 verse 31, the crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. Matthew 21 verse 9, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Matthew 21 verse 15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Matthew chapter 22 verses 41 and 42. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the Son of David. Now the scripture prophetically spoke of the Son of David, the messianic age, and the Son of David, the Messiah, who would bring healing, specifically healing to the blind, the Messiah who brings healing to the blind. And people began to see this happening literally before their eyes when Jesus healed the blind. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 18. Let's read these prophecies. Isaiah 29 verse 18. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. So these 2 blind men persisted in following Jesus right into the house. No doubt they had friends who helped guide them. They knew that the only one who could help them was the Messiah, the Son of David. They knew that the Son of David would be merciful. And they cried out, have mercy on us, Son of David. It was foretold in the scripture that the Son of David would be merciful. Psalm 72 verse 12. Psalm 72 verse 12. For he delivers the needy when he calls. The poor and him who has no helper. Psalm 72 verse 13. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. Now we must take note of this. Each of the blind men did not speak for himself saying, have mercy on me. But both spoke for each other. Have mercy on us. They were fellow sufferers and joint petitioners. They knew that in Christ the Messiah, there is enough mercy for all. How did these blind men know? These blind men would have heard the scriptures being read in the synagogues regarding the Messiah who heals the blind. So they persisted in getting to him. It says in the scripture, it says in Matthew 9 verse 28, when he entered the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. It was their faith that Christ honored. They needed to openly declare their faith in his power. So Jesus asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Their yes, Lord was the confession that released the power for their healing and their sight was restored. They answered the question that Jesus asked them with faith. Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. And this is the manner in which Jesus speaks to us today also. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can deliver you, although you are cut off from the light of this world? Do you believe that I can enrich you in poverty? Do you believe that I can strengthen you in weakness? Do you believe that I can raise you even out of death itself? Do you believe I can take away your barrenness and make you fruitful? Do you believe that I am able to give you a knowledge of God that the human eye has not seen and the human heart cannot conceive? And if, like the two blind men, we would openly declare our faith in his power and say, yes, Lord, then we can expect him to do his work in us. Jesus told them, according to your faith, be it done to you. Matthew chapter 9 verse 29. Now it may be with trembling faith that we answer, yes, Lord. But blessed is the soul that is willing to say, yes, Lord. He is the only Messiah who came to deliver mankind and he still invites people to himself so that they may be delivered. Matthew 11 verse 28. Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. That invitation still stands today. Revelation chapter 22 verses 16 and 17. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Now please understand that there is no limit to what he can and will do for you if only you will trust him. And the measure of his giving is according to the measure of your faith. And the measure of your faith will be according to the measure of your willingness to abandon yourself to him. And when you abandon yourself upon him in faith, then you will experience the power of his touch upon your life. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. Matthew 9, verse 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. Now what happened after this? Matthew chapter 9, verse 30. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. They were instantly healed. The miracle took place. And then Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. Now one of the reasons why Christ forbid the Jews who were healed from spreading the news of the miracles is because many of the Jews had a false understanding of the Messiah. They thought of the Messiah as one who would deliver them from the bondage of Rome. And many of them thought this miracle worker would indeed accomplish this revolution very soon. And they failed to see the fact that they needed spiritual deliverance. This is also what happened after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6 verses 14 to 15. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The miracles which Christ did among the Gentiles and the Gadarenes were allowed to be proclaimed because with those miracles, this problem that was there among the Jews did not exist. In fact, he told the man of Gadarenes who was healed in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, Mark chapter 5, verse 19, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Now, what did these two men who were healed, what did they do? They did exactly the opposite of what they were told. Matthew 9 verse 31 says, "But they went away and spread his fame through all that district." This was done out of zeal and not by prudence. It cannot be justified because their proclamation was done against a particular command of Christ. Whenever we profess to glorify God, we must also see to it that our actions are according to the will of God. Otherwise, we will end up disobeying God. This was what the leper who was cleansed, this is what he did. We read of Jesus telling him in Mark chapter 1 verses 44 to 45 and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. Being recipients of God's grace, we must serve him in obedience. In our zeal for him, we could do things in the strength of the flesh, and in so doing, we actually disobey him. When we disobey him, we are dishonoring him. Because what God desires of us is obedience. Remember the words of Samuel the prophet to King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15 verses 22 and 23. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Now, blindness is also a picture of spiritual ignorance and unbelief. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6 verse 10 we read, Isaiah 6 and verse 10, "Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Speaking about the unbelieving Pharisees, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 verse 14, "Let them alone, they are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Now the nation of Israel on the whole has gone through almost 2,000 years of spiritual blindness with regard to their own Messiah, Yeshua. In the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 25 we read, Romans 11 verse 25, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Now today we are seeing that veil is being removed from their eyes. From just a handful of believers in Yeshua in 1948, the nation today has more than 30,000 Messianic Jews. Messianic Jews are believers in Yeshua, in Jesus as their own Messiah. They call him Yeshua. Many are being born again today, and the Lord is affirming their faith in him through signs and wonders once again. Every sinner must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. No matter whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile, that person must be born again to enter God's kingdom. The book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, we read Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Nicodemus, the Pharisee and teacher of the law, was told by Jesus three times that a person must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, the born again believer must also be careful to grow spiritually, or else he will damage his spiritual vision. If he doesn't grow spiritually, he will actually damage his spiritual vision. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 to 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 to 9. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." So it is very important that a born-again believer be careful, that he is careful to grow spiritually. Otherwise, he can damage his spiritual vision. Now the final miracle. The final miracle in this series, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9, where there are 10 miracles that are recorded, the final miracle involves a demon. Matthew chapter 9 verses 32 to 34. Matthew chapter 9 verses 32 to 34. "As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds marveled, saying, 'Never was anything like this seen in Israel.' But the Pharisees said, 'He casts out demons by the prince of demons.'" Now there is a difference between sicknesses and demonic workings. But the demons also do have the power to cause physical afflictions. And in this case, the demon made the man mute. Think of what a great handicap this would have been. And the malice of the work of Satan in the life of this man. Jesus the Messiah delivered him. The cure that Jesus Christ gives strikes at the very root of the sickness. The cause is taken away and the effect of muteness is removed. The man opened his lips and he spoke. Satan's power over his soul had been broken. Now the people admitted the miracle. They said that this was a new thing in Israel. Never was anything like this seen in Israel. But what did the religious leaders say? The religious leaders would not admit that Jesus was the Messiah. But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." Nothing can convince those who are under the power of pride. They will believe anything, even if it is false or absurd, but they will not believe the Holy Scriptures. This shows the enmity of their hearts against a holy God. How then could they explain his miracles? Only by saying that his miracles were wrought in the power of the wicked one. And they would repeat this charge later, and Jesus would refute it. Matthew chapter 12 verses 22 to 28. Matthew 12 verses 22 to 28. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In their unbelief, the Pharisees were playing right into Satan's hands. Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now we come to the third discipleship interlude, which we find in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus healed the sick, and he taught and he preached. He visited not only the cities where people were rich, but he went to the poor in obscure villages. There he preached, there he healed. He taught in their synagogues. He never missed worship in the synagogues. Luke chapter 4 verse 16 it says, Luke 4 verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And we must never neglect times of worship and fellowship together. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The apostles often preached in the synagogues of the Jews. It is wise to make use of every opportunity that we have, led by the Holy Spirit, to proclaim his word wherever God opens the door for us. Jesus had compassion when he saw the multitudes, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus had compassion when he saw the multitudes, Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Just as Jesus pitied the blind, the lame, and the sick, he was also equally concerned about seeing them spiritually ignorant and careless and ready to perish due to lack of the knowledge of the truth about God. It was his compassion for the lost that brought him from heaven to earth. Luke chapter 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That compassion for the lost was what led him to the cross. And he still sees the misery of the blind, the lame, and the sick today. And his mercy is still upon every sin-sick soul. When he ministered in his body on earth, he did not do the work alone. He needed others to help him. He requested that his disciples pray that God would provide the needed workers. We find him telling his disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 9 verses 37 to 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And soon his disciples themselves were involved in the ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. For we see in Matthew chapter 10, right from the beginning, Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction." In the same way, when we pray as Jesus commanded us to pray, we will see what he saw, we will feel what he felt, and we will do what he did. God will multiply our lives as we share in the great harvest that is already ripe. John chapter 4 verses 34 to 38. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray. You see, the need constitutes prayer. God does not burden us with his burdens unless we begin to pray about the work that needs to be done. When we begin to pray, then he reveals to us more about the needs of people, and he burdens us regarding the harvest. The harvest involves hard work. It involves labor. This means that the task cannot be done by any single individual. This also means that the work cannot be done in human strength. This is why he burdens his church to pray to reach the lost. He also equips his church for the task. The task is enormous. The task is huge. The harvest is plentiful. And the fact is that the laborers are few. First of all, we need to be aware of what is happening around us, and we need to pray. Then the Lord will show us more regarding his burdens for the lost and his ways to bring in the harvest. He will also empower us to do his work. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Remember that each of us, we have a role to play in this great harvest. And so each of us, we must seek and ask God in prayer as to what he wants us to do and how he wants us to be involved. Collectively as a church, we can then move forward in the task, praying for each other, supporting one another, encouraging each other, and pressing on in the work that he has entrusted each one of us to do. He has already commissioned us for the task. It is up to us to find out the role that he has for us in the harvest and work at it. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's bow our heads in prayer.